For May the 26th, 2017, we talk about the Far Cry 5 announcement, Hollow Knight, and we ask you if you buy early access games. Welcome to Level 198. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Meismith.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. And because this is a podcast that is coming out in one of the last weeks of May, it is obligate that I at least mention the new Twin Peaks episodes.
Yeah.
I don't understand the release schedule. I guess they dropped four at once and then nothing for another 2 or 3 weeks. So
isn't that just the way Twin Peaks works? I mean, wouldn't it be weird if it did make sense?
I guess I suppose so. But the way it shook out, it's kind of like we got a 4-hour pilot for the series.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's a movie. They're making movies.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's and they're tremendous, tremendous. Guess what I spend 4 hours on a Tuesday doing? It's kind of like, I'll just watch the first one. And nope, 4 hours later. Well, shit, I should have played more Hollow Knight.
Maybe
that's a painful one to play.
Yeah.
Maybe they felt pressed to meet the May deadline because, like, this month's the 25th anniversary of Sleepwalk with Me.
Firewalk
with Me.
Yeah. I thought that they were, I guess I need to check and see when Firewalk came out. Because, yeah. Well, that would make sense as well, because they missed last year, which would have been the 25 years for the series.
I thought this year was the 25th anniversary of the movie coming out, which had the "see you in 25 years" thing. But yeah. maybe I'm off a year.
I don't know. I remember it was supposed to come out last year, but there was all kinds of weird production stuff. Yeah,
we can assume it's 25 years from something significant.
Of course, yeah. So it's been I don't know. It was very cool. I very much enjoyed catching up. It is extremely my shit. So. Yeah, that's my story. Anything exciting happen to people over the past week?
Nada.
No?
Nerd stuff. About it.
More magic?
Magic, D&D, and video games.
Holy shit.
Oh, wow.
Three fronts. Hey. Yeah.
D&D, this is a first for you, right?
Yeah, so this is the first like campaign I've done. I've been doing it for maybe the past like 6 months or a year or so.
Okay.
It is okay. It's not bad. The people are cool. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know if it's completely my cup of jam, my cup of shtees. I don't know.
Cup of stees.
And you've been doing it for 6 months to come to this realization?
Yeah. Yeah. I gotta finish the campaign. I mean, I am a completionist, so.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah. Well, at this point, it sounds like it's more of a social function than a. Yeah.
For sure.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. David, how about you?
Not too much. I'm mostly doing a coding challenge for a company in New York, and then getting ready for Austin. So
Austin and New York, like you're headed all over the place.
Yeah, I'm looking for pretty much anything. You know, I've had trouble finding stuff in Cincinnati.
Just
a lot of the companies are using really old technology.
Yeah, stuff that is from before when you learned how to do this
stuff.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I'm looking we'll see. I don't know. Yeah. It's unfortunately New York would be crazy expensive to live in, so.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think about that summer that I spent in New York a lot. Like, you know, it was before I recognized how expensive things could be, and I was on scholarship money and stuff. But like, that was a good fun time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
So the company I did the challenge for, their offices are in like Midtown Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
So that probably doesn't make things any cheaper.
I mean, you can live in a borough and then, you know, commute in, like that's not a,
okay,
that's not
are
a
the
big
commute's
deal.
Bad, do you know?
No, I mean, like, to get anywhere you're gonna spend about 40 minutes on a subway, but like that is true from like Southern Manhattan to Midtown, and also from Queens or South Brooklyn to Midtown.
Okay. Like, that makes sense.
In my experience, yeah. In my experience, nearly a decade ago, so who knows?
Yeah, you know. They decided to get rid of all those subways, decided those weren't cool anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I miss having a subway. I wish there was any kind of public transit at all.
It's under the ground. It's there in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I know. They used to give tours of it, but then they stopped, like, right when I was in a position where I could actually go. yeah.
They give the tours of it still. In. You just have to have a crowbar.
Yep, they're self-guided.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know. Both self-guided, like, Austin, and misguided.
Austin does have public transportation to speak of either, right?
They have buses, and they have like a L-type rail, but it's kind of limited where it goes.
Okay.
Yeah,
that was something I really enjoyed about San Francisco, is like either walking or taking one of their needlessly confusing public transportation systems everywhere.
Yeah, disparate systems, disparate cards. Yeah.
Yep.
Blah.
I think Austin's pretty fond of their traffic jams, so they're not going to do public transit anytime soon.
Isn't that kind of like a Texas thing?
There's a lot of roads and highways in Texas.
Yeah,
for sure. It's a lot of like roller coaster esque architecture here for highways for some reason.
Oh yeah, Houston is freaking like Hot Wheels tracks.
Yeah.
Damn, I got to go to Houston.
Yeah.
In the next 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about this. So David's going to go see Jala here because he's headed down to Austin, and he has a little bit of time to stay. And so Dennis has 2 days now to be to be not the last person to meet Jala in person.
And not bring shame upon my family.
Yeah. Oh, well. So, I think we've achieved some banter. We've got the usual kind of show for you this week. The brief, the multiplayer, and the grind. And why don't we get started with
the brief,
where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us. I've got a story, because this one is it's a little big. It is at least not a horrible non-news week like last week was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I'm kind of surprised
this has just been a horrible news week.
Well, so assume when we say, hey, there was no news or there was no bad news, like, just didn't say anything, we're just talking about video games. Like, if I talked about things that were happening over the past, 7 days, we would
need much more alcohol on this show.
Yeah, it would be a very different podcast, and one not many people would want to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
But this is about Red Dead Redemption 2. So a while back, Rockstar teased and then officially announced the sequel to their Western open world game, initially saying it was going to come out this fall of 2017. But they have now pushed this back beyond fiscal year 2017, so out past April 1st of 2018. So realistically, looking at sometime next summer for this to come out.
Yeah, sad to see it delayed, but I'm all for people taking the time they need.
Yeah,
it looks super pretty.
It really does. There's some great screenshots that you can see of this, and like the stuff in the forest with the beams of light cutting through, and and it's like all of the lighting seems fantastic.
That got me was the close up of the two revolvers, which I did not immediately register as a computer animated screenshot.
Yeah. Rockstar's not excuse, their explanation for this makes a good deal of sense, and it falls in line with what Dennis said, saying this outlaw epic, you can lay off of it there. You don't have to say that. Just say this game. This outlaw epic set across the vast and unforgiving American heartland will be the first Rockstar game created from the ground up for the latest generation of console hardware. Some extra time is necessary to ensure that we can deliver the best experience possible for our fans. So, like, hey, we haven't mastered the PS4 yet, and we don't want our first outing to be a stinker.
Yeah, that's about it. I like your version better.
Yeah.
It's also a lot of hype for this game in particular.
A lot of what? I'm sorry?
Hype for this game in particular.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the first one's really beloved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just once, I want to see like an announcement that it's like, due to Doug fucking up like an idiot, we're going to have to take another 2 months. You know what you did, Doug.
I thought you said due to Dog. Dog fucked up.
It would be even better.
His name wasn't always Dog, but he fucked up so bad that they had to change it.
A dog ate my source code.
Have you ever fucked up so bad they remove a vowel from your name?
Oh, man.
Pray that I do not remove another.
All right, so coming out in 2018, that is about 5 years after. Let's say that the PS4 came out in 2014 because it was at the very... Well, at the very end of 2013, that'll be about 4 years and some change after the PS4 came out and this generation started. I think they're beating themselves a little bit because Grand Theft Auto 4 came out in 2008, 3 years after the Xbox 360 came out. So like they're taking time and Valve. Yep. Okay. So Valve also, but
they're really good at taking their time.
Well, yeah. I was going to say Rockstar is known for their delays, you know, to a certain extent. They often, you know, don't have a lot of details until they're ready. I think this is maybe the most we've known about one of their games while a detail was still in play while a delay was still in play. But yeah, I don't know what I was saying. I was just trying to put this in some historical context. Also,
they're usually pretty tight-lipped, so.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see a chart of, like, time between games in a series and quality of the games.
What would your, what is the test case for that? Like, what are you thinking of?
Well, because I'm thinking, like, clearly on the one hand, like, I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be some sort of hump, because on the one hand, you have, like, the Ubisoft, like, and the, Call of Duty, mm-hmm. Where it's, you know, they're going to come out every year, no matter what, damn it.
Yeah, it's annualized sequels.
Right. On the other hand, you have, like, the, Duke Nukem Forever and, you know, several of the others that kind of had the just crazy long development cycles.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's probably some sort of middle ground you could find.
Absolutely. I mean, look at something like Final Fantasy, 12 to 13, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. Just a bunch of stuff like that. I think the line is actually did this cross over a console generation, and also did this require us to adapt to a new engine midway sure. through development. I think that those are the big ones.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. So it's a bummer, but there's so much amazing stuff that is out this year anyway. Like they could stop releasing games now and just say, hey, no more new games till 2018. And 2017 would have still been one of the best years in games, I think.
Yeah, for real.
That'll be the next executive order. No new games.
gosh, he's gonna reverse the ban on anime. Now anime is mandatory. and no more new video games. I think that's a 4chan meme. I don't know. but yeah, Red Dead Redemption 2 not coming out. At least not as soon as we think. Ben, I'm curious about Far Cry 5. Tell me.
Yeah, I got a story that kind of relates to this. I'm surprised that there's this many stories about upcoming games with E3 being like a couple weeks away. But I don't know. Maybe these are like
usually this is the like this is company is trying to set expectations before the big thing. Okay. So you either get teasers or you get like saying like, hey, this definitely will not come out. So like, don't even hold your breath during our during our conference. But yeah, Far Cry 5
leak week. So it's official. The United States is now a third world country. Far Cry 5 is taking place in Montana in the United States. They released a 40-second trailer for it. I mean, I guess Montana is a cool choice. I mean, it's a very engaging environment that the United States has.
But doesn't Far Cry need like buildings for you to salvage?
I don't know if you need that or not. Far Cry 2 was pretty sparse with the amount of buildings that it had. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that's kind of interesting about the trailer is it's basically a lot of scenes of beauty, but with very not fun things going on. So like the scenic picture of a river with a body just floating through it, or the final scene approaches a church with a bell ringing, and then as it zooms in closer, you see a person using another person's head to beat the bell to make it ring. So, somewhat disturbing.
Here's a man running across a field.
Yeah. I mean, so if any of these games are in graphic games, they look beautiful. I mean, they look as good as Red Dead Redemption, if not better. Mm-hmm. But
to the whole, like, is it CGI or is it real life thing? So apparently the Montana Tribune reported a while ago that there was a production crew filming the scene with the church. So I assume all of this is live action.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Which, again, watching this, this did not immediately register as live action. We're to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's converging.
There's no uncanny valley anymore. It's
just yeah.
Candy. I mean, the whole thing here is uncanny.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. That looks interesting. I think I've played the last like 3 Far Cry games. I've been lukewarm on the last 2, I think. So
yeah, yeah. Last one you really enjoyed was 2, right?
Yeah. Okay. I think so. And I think a lot of that was because that was new for the console, I think, at the time, back for PS3.
Yeah, yeah, that was 2008, so about a year after. Look at me, yeah. Johnny knows when stuff was released.
Sorry, go ahead.
Did you try New Vegas?
Yes.
Yeah, he's beaten it several times.
Okay, did you like that one?
I did, but that's Fallout and not Far Cry.
Ah, damn it. Fuck.
It's a fair point. I mean, we can talk about New Vegas.
That makes it's me okay. Going back, my salvage comment makes more sense, and this makes me even more confused. I now understand the third world comment, and I'm now more confused about their decision to set it there
in Montana. Yeah,
yeah. Like, what the hell?
This
feels like a Call of Duty goes modern-esque move, where it's like, okay, you can only do World War II so many times. You can only do Ramshackle Third World so many times.
Yeah, but yeah. I feel like this instead becomes, we saw that people liked when Resident Evil 7 did like crazy, you know, crazy rural people, and therefore we're going to do that.
Yeah, well, this is a different kind of thing, a different kind of, as they say, crazy rural, but like it's very, you know, Montana's like militia town, like militia country, you know, kind of more of a frontier kind of thing rather than bayou folk. I know that I am literally just splitting hairs.
Sure. I'd be interested. I mean, there's no hint of gunplay in the trailer, and you know that makes sense. It's more of like a mood piece than it is any kind of gameplay indication.
A lot of bell play though.
Yes, there is. But I'd be interested to see if I remember at Far Cry 2, there was a section, kind of a town that you kind of couldn't incite violence in, right?
I think there are a couple safe zones. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know if that sometimes you had games. To, but you'd get in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. But I would be interested to see a Far Cry game that, you know, used a lot more restraint and forced you to be a little more choiceful about when you employed violence.
That would be interesting. Yeah. I wonder what they're going to do for towers. I mean, I guess it'll just be the American radio towers. But...
Yeah. Yeah.
Do they have Firewatch towers in Montana?
They also have mountains, which are the ultimate towers.
God's
towers. Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like they've already done
the Himalayas.
Yeah, the Himalayas. So I feel like they've kind of got that beat.
Which I do want to kind of interject with. I feel like the Himalayas were kind of weakly done in Far Cry, where it was like a separate map that you would travel to and do like a standalone mission on, and then you would come back.
Whatever. It also kind of confused me how like you as a random guy is able to just run around doing things that like normally takes highly trained, you know, mountaineering and stuff.
That's a video game.
Yep.
Yeah, but I feel like there's still a limit between like, I don't know.
Yeah. So this gets around, something that was a complaint about Far Cry 2 and 3, especially 3. but having it set in America in, you know, speaking broadly, a majority white area, gets rid of the hey, I am the white savior coming to, you know, bring bring peace to a savage land kind of angle. So
yeah, you know, that's, it's the classist myths versus the race myths. So
yeah,
pick your poison.
yeah, because that's actually one thing I would say is I could see it being hard to not end up legitimately pissing off a lot of people.
Yeah, I don't know. It just it depends. Given the content of this kind of mood trailer that we're seeing, I don't know that it's going to be. I don't know that the Montana Tourist Board will be completely satisfied with the way that their backyard is shown.
You know what? They just need to make the enemies Nazis. No one gets mad when you fight. That's Nazis.
True. Yeah, yeah. They can just be neo-Nazis. So, as we call them now, Republicans.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry. Sorry.
Not all Republicans.
True. I know. Go ahead.
So, interesting fact, my father was a counselor before he retired, and you know, really common thing that people use as a coping mechanism is basically, you know, saying that their life will be perfect when they you know, if they just move somewhere else.
Yeah.
So you know, like if you move to Austin or you know something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
who could you be referencing right now, David?
I don't know, but I might be hopping on a flight soon. but apparently the number one place that like when he was counseling people that people would you know have these romanticized views of moving to was Montana.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I thought.
How does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. You go there aren't that many people around. Like
exactly.
Montana, like the thought of like Montana or Alaska. Like you just go there, you get a cabin, and there's nobody around, and you can just live your own life unbothered.
Pick up whittling.
See, that's like the exact opposite of like what I worry about.
I can just I get it. Is all that I'm saying is I get it.
I thought you were going to say that a really common coping mechanism. Wow. I thought you were going to say that a really common coping mechanism was ringing people's heads on bells.
You know, I mean,
they could both
don't
be true.
Knock it till you've tried it.
They call it the cabeza kabong.
Yeah.
El kabong.
Oh,
rings
man.
It's true.
any other thoughts on Far Cry 5? I'm positive we're going to see
more. Bell puns?
Yeah.
I now, though, am kind of disappointed that we're not getting a Fallout set in Montana.
I'd play it. I don't know.
Yeah, just two different versions of Montana.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they should just make a crossover game.
Oh, yeah. Maybe like just like one of them is the immediate prequel to the other. Yeah.
Far out. Movie.
Damn it, beat me to it.
Far, that's pretty good.
Or Fall Cry. I like Far Out better.
Both of them work, yeah.
Yeah. Dennis, I want to hear about this VR game that you found.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited. It looks to be a good week for VR games, and again, probably because we're closing in on E3. But specifically, there is a game called Lone Echo, which is a multiplayer VR game.
That's a horrible name for a multiplayer game.
Hold on. Yeah. What is a Lone Echo?
That
it just
is
comes
a great
back
question.
Once.
Yeah, I think so. Like okay. Echo, you know, you do it all the time and then you don't sit there going echo all day. So, it is, but their multiplayer section is called Echo Arena. And it is effectively a recreation of the battle simulations from Ender's Game, where it's like a zero G arena. Instead of trying to shoot each other, which would be cool. You're effectively playing disc golf, where you are trying to like basically pass around a disc and throw it through the other team's goal. So this is like a weird like Ender's Game meets Quidditch meets, you know, something else.
So it's Ender's Game if Ender was a hipster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's Ender's Game if Ender never stopped throwing up.
Yeah.
Right. This also looks like Zero G Blitzball.
Yeah, kind of. They said that to control for motion sickness, there is no pitch or roll. enabled by default.
Okay.
So you can go in and play this game, and even though it is in like the 0G 3D arena, you'll kind of stay upright by default, although they do expect to have kind of a hardcore mode or a more advanced mode where you are just completely flipping and you know, over in crazy directions the entire time, which awesome to me.
If you always stay in the same orientation, wouldn't that just result in you repeatedly getting like shot in the back?
Or the feet, or whatever. So you can turn, you can rotate, but you can't like pitch and roll.
You're like a heavy pencil.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So this looks cool. I think it caught my attention because of the kind of like gross motor movements that I feel like fit really well with VR. So you're literally like grabbing and throwing yourself off of walls. Mm-hmm. And it's really elegant to be playing a sport in zero G to kind of immerse yourself and feel like, okay, I can, even though I'm sitting in a chair, I get why I'm moving around the arena this way.
Yeah.
So that feels pretty exciting. Unfortunately right now it's an Oculus Rift only game. It's an exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to, I think I'm less likely to get an Oculus than I am other stuff, but yeah. this feels like from front to back, just a really good use of the VR medium.
Hmm.
I think you've buried the lead. There's a lot of face punching in this game.
Very much so. And I like the fact that the expressions on the Destiny mask change.
Yeah.
Like, you punch him in the face and he gets like a sad smiley face with X's for eyes.
Correct. Yes. That is an important part of the game, it would seem.
Yeah. Huh. So Lone Echo coming to an Oculus near you. Early previews are in and they unanimously say.
Yeah. Hey, for some people.
Okay. So, I'm sitting here watching the video and I'm kind of like, yeah, that's kind of making me queasy. I need to like, I need to find the horizon.
That's even in like. Third person for most of the previews. So not the first person that you'd be playing it in.
Oh man. David, what's your story? Because there's something real goofy here, and I want to see if that's what you decide to go with.
Sure. So I kind of want to go with this one just because it's kind of funny. So this is actually a Reddit post on the Warframe subreddit where someone posted in the comments section of a Pornhub video asking where they should go to farm argon crystals in Warframe. However, that itself would be kind of silly, but you know, that's just, you know, something anything can do. What really makes the story is that then the porn star who was featured in the movie proceeded to correctly answer the question.
That's professionalism.
Yeah,
that
is service. I've got to say, that is service.
Sure. Also kind of entertaining is that one of the developers for Warframe retweeted this exchange. So in the words of... one of the posters on this, you know, apparently the Warframe staff knows how to multitask between supporting the community and getting personal work done.
Oh, of course. That's important. Balance is important, you know.
Everyone's striving for a more integrated life.
Yeah. we choose integration here. So did the video have anything to do with Warframe?
No.
Okay.
No.
Cool.
This guy has a very specific fetish.
I
wait, is the name blurred out? Is this Mike? Is this you, Michael?
So the actual post in question is on Reddit is pretty much safe for work, like, you know, other than just the fact that it says, like, hey, this is a thing on Pornhub, like, you know, no pictures, no whatever. But they do have a link to a Google search for the comments, which can basically show you the title of it. And no, this is not related to Warframe.
Let me see here. Now I'm curious. With the power of Google.
This is an elaborate routine to try to hone in on Overwatch's turf. I say this is stage. They want to.
It very much is. All time, all results, no nothing. Wow, no, it didn't.
If you click on the Reddit link, like the third post is a Google search.
Yeah. I actually, that's the one that I clicked. The one that says with the power of Google, but it doesn't return any results. So I guess it was pulled. I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that this is honing in on Overwatch's turf, because, you know, Overwatch has a certain segment of its fan base is notoriously horny. However, like, the second Overwatch was announced, the Pornhub released a lot of their data. Like, Pornhub's research team, like, if you just like watch stuff from their blog, it's actually really fascinating, because they just have they basically, you know, have all kinds of information about who searches for what in which places, you know, around which times, and, you know, they're pretty much always pegged to no pun intended, that is not a search term. they pretty much always got their eye out for they pretty much always got their eye for video game stuff. Like, the day Fallout 4 came out, their traffic took a huge dip, pretty much since Overwatch was announced, you know, like that became one of the most searched for terms on their on their platform. And yes, there is a social network on or a social network aspect to Pornhub. This person probably just totally expected to get an answer, maybe not from the star herself. Also, I would not recommend anybody look at the comments on a particular video, because it is vile. Yeah, this is fascinating.
Yeah,
ladies and gentlemen, I give you the internet.
It is interesting, the data that they do with that. I know they released graphs, I think, at one time, like during a Super Bowl, and basically their traffic increased like over different periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting data, but then
it tells a story. It tells a story.
Yeah.
So there's actually a guy who did a really interesting, you know, he's written a book. He's, you know, some scholar, but did a Google whatever talk on basically what different demographics, what porn they're into and why.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, one of the really interesting things is, like, apparently, like, was it Futa, whatever, the
like drawings of women with penises.
Yeah, exactly. Not necessarily meaning like
actual transsexual. Transsexual.
Yeah. Is pretty much exclusively popular among heterosexual males,
mm-hmm.
which is like, and just going into like why that is, it's actually like, it's one of those things that you say and be like, no, it's totally something that you should, but it actually is really fascinating.
Yeah. Also, weirdly enough, that particular flavor of, let's say, media is one of the top search terms in Iran. Among porn sites, because like Pornhub, part of their research is also to publish these like interactive maps of the United States and elsewhere to like show what is popular where. It doesn't really get into like demographic kind of angles. Yeah, but yeah, like geographically, you can kind of look and see what's popular where. Again, it tells a story.
Finally, big data gives us something useful, you know.
That's the only thing, though. Gotta wait a couple years.
Yep.
To be fair, it's the internet, so they're obligated. Yeah, that's how it works. When when big data wanted to become a thing, they had to come before a board of, you know, Al Gore and Bill Gates
and Jimmy World Wide Web.
Right, exactly. And you know, their first the question Space Jam is website. So what are you going to do with porn?
Yeah. It just like big data had to go through the route that every single other piece of technology had to go through, which was how is this going to be used to get somebody off? Yeah.
Do they fuck?
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. Dennis, what is the question that you asked to the nice people?
Yeah. And not I, but my asked this question. So. My of the Slack channel provided this, came up in conversation, and so I thought I'd use it, which is that this week we want to hear about your relationship with early access games. So which ones have been worth it or not worth it? And that's assuming that you're willing to pay for them at all. Mm-hmm. And why?
Yeah.
That's actually her title. We knighted her, Mai of the Slack channel.
Yeah.
I'm going to get us started here with Greg, who says, I stay away from early access games as a rule. Three main reasons. One, the games are usually in a rough state and I'm afraid of playing them at all at that point, as it may color my opinion. Two, I prefer to wait for a finished game as early access games, to me at least, are disc glorified demos. And three, with over 500 games on my backlog to play, I don't have time to waste on unfinished games.
Yeah, that last one more than any of the other ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a very compelling case, to say the least. Let's see. Ben, what does Michael say?
Michael says, I'm going to be super, or it's going to be a super obvious answer for me, but screw it. I have one big early access game in my life, Warframe. The game is still in open beta after years, which is why they don't charge for it. I've played 1,100 plus hours of it and loving every minute even now. Kudos, by the way. That trounces my Rocket League hours.
Jesus Christ.
The developers put out new content for free all the time and patch things promptly when they're busted. DE does such a great job that I am more than happy to put in a few bucks a month to support them.
DE being Digital Extremes.
Yes.
Yeah. Who make the game.
Yeah. So can it technically be considered an early release game if it is under development as an MMO? Like those are kind of always in process, right?
Yeah, I'm sure there are like paragraphs upon paragraphs on whether or not Warframe is actually an MMO.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry if I made somebody angry by saying flippantly.
It's a good question. Are there statutes of limitations on how long something can be early access?
Yeah, it was like,
I don't
one
know.
Of those...
We should ask the DayZ.
Or it's a little bit like Gmail being in beta for 10 years, you know?
Yeah.
There, I mean, we have kind of reached a point where the idea of a release is kind of nonsensical.
A little bit, yeah.
Be fair. I've got some invites to Gmail if you guys want.
Oh, nice. Thanks, man.
Yeah, let's talk after we record. Let's see. David, what does Sam say?
Sam says, I generally buy early access games instead of supporting games on sites like Kickstarter. The results have been mixed at best, but the standout game to me is still Kerbal Space Program. The creators made good on their goals for the game and continue to support it post-release. Also, even in its heavily simplified form, Kerbal Space Program has taught me enough about orbital physics to earn a lot of Hollywood sci-fi movies. Oh, and the game is very fun and full of charming characters.
I wish I had the patience to play Kerbal.
Repeated?
What was that you said, Dennis?
Isn't it just one character repeated? Like the Kerbal is like, you know, you send a couple of them up into orbit. I didn't know they were like distinct characters.
Well, it depends on how much time you spend on perfecting reentry.
Yeah, it's you have to decide how much you care.
You get to choose how many characters there are in the game.
Yeah. I don't know, like a game like Kerbal makes some degree of sense to me because it is entirely mechanics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It does seem like a blind spot of the podcast, perhaps. I don't think no one's really played that to any great extent here, right?
No. I said it, but I think there was a little bit of overtalk around it. I desperately wish I had the patience to play that because it looks like it would be very much my jam. It's just it's got such a high barrier to entry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Dennis, what does Stuart say?
Yeah, Stuart says, I used to really like the idea, but lots of horror stories turn me off of trying them. Are there safe early access games where I'm guaranteed to get my money's worth? I don't know if anything is considered completely safe. That's the stakes, right?
It's like any other game. You have to listen for people you trust who have played it and can vouch for it. Like there, you know, I stayed away from Crypt of the Necrodancer when it was an early release because that is, you know, kind of a narrative game that has a beginning, middle, and end, even though it is, you know, roguelike and it's mechanical, you know, a great deal. A large number of people said, yeah, this is basically finished. They just wanted to put it out so they could fine tune the end. Like it's all there, but it just needs to be fine tuned. like that was enough to assuage me. You know, if I was in a position to like want to buy and complete a game at that point, I believe that I waited for it to, you know, finish release. But like, yeah, you know, for every early release game where somebody put out like a Unity tutorial and then took the money and ran, you know, like people will play them and talk about them on podcasts or talk about them in communities, you know?
Sure. And I think some of it's also what the reputation of the developer is. Because, for example, you know, I didn't have any problem jumping in on Sunless Sea because I'd already played Fallen London for too many hours.
Yeah.
You know, things like that.
Yeah. Nick writes, I picked up PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds recently. For an early access game, it has been pretty fun and well developed, except for when the buildings don't load properly, leaving me to run through open fields of deformed architecture, hoping for the best. It's not enough to turn me off of early access games, but it will probably get me to finally upgrade my video card.
I know. I'm kind of thinking they should just make that a mode. Have it be like, you know,
it's
Dolly's melting clocks mode.
know, yeah.
It's just occasionally the world is not fully formed. You know, just build it
Battle
into the
through
fiction.
The Megazone.
Yeah.
That's some good world building.
Has that happened to you, Ben, playing that game?
No, I actually have not run into that problem yet, but I've only played that game like a handful of times, so.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed the other potential brief items that they've apparently added the ability to do stunts on their motorcycles.
Oh, of course.
Excellent prioritization of features.
Why not? I'm doing stunts through an unreal world. Write that down as a good title. let's see. Ben, what does Jonathan say?
Jonathan says, I got Ghost in the Shell game. It sounds like a condition. I heard it was bad and still haven't played. $5 poorly spent.
Yeah. I didn't know there was a Ghost in the Shell game. Was it time to release with the movie? I'll wait for your answer, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Fade to black.
David, what does Graham say?
Graham says, playing Minecraft in Terraria before their proper releases was just as fun as the 1.0 overall. Starbound wasn't any fun in early access, but then again, it wasn't any fun after it officially released. That's really depressing. But true. Keeping with the theme of mining/building games, Dig or Die has yet to be officially released. It's practically a complete experience. The dev's goal right now is to refine the game rather than add more content.
Yeah.
I've not heard of Dig or Die.
Neither have I.
Starbound is just a really interesting exercise in making a perfect game that isn't fun.
I should probably look and see how many hours I've actually put into Starbound, all of it in early release. That was kind of going to be part of my answer for this. But I've not like dug into Terraria at all. No pun intended. I'm not pegged into Terraria at all. So it's not,
back to the pegging reference.
So like, I don't have anything to compare it to. It seemed fine to me.
Basically Starbound used a lot of gating, and it also kind of had the No Man's Sky effect of, like, one of the features of Terraria is basically there's the world's randomly generated, but there's rules as to how things are laid out relative to each other, so that it kind of gives the game a flow or a narrative or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Starbound is basically just mine enough of this ore to build the thing that summons the next boss and then mine the next color of ore.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was just too open, really.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't have a problem with that because I was hopping around and seeing cool planets and shit.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, it's all valid. I just...
Yeah.
Yeah. You already did that, David, didn't you? Dennis, what does Chris say?
Chris says, I generally won't purchase a game, a pre-release, unless I've gotten a suggestion from a close friend. I got burned by Greenlight when it first came out by buying Towns. This was before refunds, which probably would have made me less salty about it. I haven't even heard of Towns.
I think it's literally like a medieval village building simulator kind of thing. But yeah, I have no idea what its controversy might have been. Yeah.
Ooh, the website for it is horrible.
Yeah. Paul writes, Crypt of the Necrodancer was a good early access game. No regrets. Played it more in early access than after release. Loved the music. The music is great.
Mm-hmm.
I need to check and see if I have that in a humble soundtrack, actually, because that'd be very fun to get.
You probably do.
Probably, yeah. Ben, what does Evan say?
Evan says, most of the time when I get early access game, it's because either my friends are playing it, like with Battlegrounds, or it's a game that I want so badly that I can't wait, Factorio and Brigador. In both cases, it was worth it. I get to have loads of fun with Battlegrounds before the hype dies down and people start dropping off of it. With Brigador, I got to enjoy the game in early access again when it came out with new features, and soon to be a third time when it gets relaunched next Friday. Same deal with Factorio. I get to check in every 4 to 6 months and see the game expanded and refreshed, letting me enjoy it all over again.
I forgot that Factorio was early access.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Battlegrounds? Is that the Star Wars game?
No, PlayerUnknown.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Now I'm following. This has been the episode where David mixes up similarly named games.
Well, to be fair. They're pretty similarly named. Yeah. Let's see. Was that you? No.
That was me.
Yeah, that was you. Sorry, I'm keeping track of these in a new way, and it is obviously not working. David, what does David say?
David says, pretty much the only early access games I've played are from Kickstarters. I enjoy watching a game evolve, so I'll usually toss a handful of hours at each build. I played a ton of Sunless Sea and Starbound before their respective releases.
Yeah. And so you get to see how they change, like how Sunless Sea changed their combat and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dennis, what does Javier say?
Javier says, when Ark Survival Evolved came to the Xbox One version of Early Access, I jumped at the chance of a dinosaur survival game and have no regrets to this day.
Wait a minute. There's early access on Xbox?
Apparently.
Huh. I'll be damned. Had no idea.
Cole is going to have to go away and rethink his life choices.
Yeah. I was about to say, like, or drop $250 on a new system.
It's called Xbox Insider?
Maybe. Huh.
No. I feel like it should game be Xbox Insider.
Yeah. Let's see. Kyle writes, I got Dead Cells recently, which is a roguelike, so I think this one is worth it. Crosscode, I put a good amount of time into. It's a Zelda-style game with more RPG elements, totally my kind of game. I loved every bit of it, but I stopped because I figured my progress would eventually be reset when the full thing comes out, so that is a bummer. So I'm a bit on the fence, but hey, it's still a way to pre-order the game for a cheaper price and get the full version eventually. Hopefully?
Yeah. I really want to play Dead Cells. That looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I wonder how long this is going to continue happening. I really enjoy people reaching out and saying, hey, you might like this thing, but not in the sense of like, hey, Dead Cells is kind of like Dark Souls. Are you going to cover that on Bonfireside Chat? We have said several times, what is happening with that show?
I know. I should start the side Patreon to fund pay people off to send you those messages.
Yeah. Yeah. And also take down that change.org petition. Yeah. Dead Cells looks pretty cool. I've seen a lot of people playing that, and I'm curious about it, but the usual caveats and stuff. I cannot be interested in anything. Just can't. I can't be interested. Ben, what
it was a horrible accident.
It's a plumbing accident. Ben, what does Jason say?
Jason says, Killing Floor 2 was a prime example of early access done right. It released as pretty much a complete game with lots of perks to choose from, and they continued to add more, as well as a second boss and new weapons.
Hmm.
I'm just really disappointed that they removed the martial artist class. I really wanted to run around just like punching and drop kicking zombies.
That would have been perfect for you. Like, that's kind of the game you wanted forever.
You know.
Yeah.
Dead Rising?
in first person. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And finally, David, what does Phil say?
Phil says it varies for me. Some like 20XX, I play every once in a while to tool around with and see how the game evolves over time. Others like DayZ, Starbound, and most recently PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, I've gotten really into. I don't regret spending the money because even if the few times I felt the game wasn't for me, I'm happy to help with development and I've never felt ripped off. Can't say the same for many complete games.
And completes in quotes.
Yes.
Yep. I have no idea what 20XX is. Again, games that I see people playing on Steam.
Is that cyberpunk game, or am I thinking of something else?
Oh, the one that was announced, but nothing has been said about it. Yeah.
Okay. No, apparently not. It looks like, I know, the art style looks like straight up Mega Man. I don't know if it actually is.
Weird.
Roguelike platformer.
Huh. We should probably do our answers. So Starbound came out in some of those responses, and yes, I played that one on early release. And that, along with Minecraft, actually sum up one of the reasons why I'm a little bit gun shy, especially about persistent games that are like that, which is in both of those, different updates and releases either wiped out my progress or made it so that the things that I built were no longer good. With Starbound, I think it was literally just like, hey, we flipped the switch and we added these new features, and then all of a sudden you have to start over from scratch again. Big bummer. And then in Minecraft, I started playing that super early, got super attached to my initial world seed, you know, build up a castle and all this kind of stuff. And then they added new materials that were going to be pretty important, and you could not get them on land that was already generated. So I would either have to travel so far away that it'd be implausible to even keep my original stuff or roll up a new world. And this is like back in like 2010, 2011.
Yeah, that's
you should have just built a conveyor belt to bring in all the resources.
It was so many chunks away that it actually would have cost off to just blink out of existence on its way.
Oof.
Yeah. So that's the bummer. That's the bummer part of it. But like, then there's stuff like Prison Architect, which has been fine, you know, when it was an early release. And in fact, I haven't played it since it's a complete release. So
goes back to his game and it's completely gone.
Oh man.
I don't know.
Yeah, that, I mean,
oh, good.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to move us on. Did you have something to say about
the No, then I will segue gracefully in after completely bailing on that segue to try to apologize and have you talk. I also played Starbound in early access, and I think what burnt me the best, you talked about like being able to hop between worlds, and like it's a significant time investment to get to that point where you can travel between worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like that's like the whole game opens up and it's like, okay, the real Starbound starts here. And I had just gotten to that point actually, and visited like two or three worlds on my play before kind of wandering away. And so when I came back to it after full release, I had to start over, not Starbound, but Earthbound or Planetbound, I guess.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it was very clear that they had made a lot of quality of life upgrades, et cetera, but just having gotten a taste of being able to hop around planets and feeling like I reached that significant milestone and then getting yanked back to the start was insurmountable. So I'm with you, and I've seen games actually tout when they are in early access or Kickstarter or whatever that we will never delete saves. Like you will never lose your game progress,
mm-hmm.
Because I think so many people have been burnt by that it's important for them to call out. So
yeah. So just as a side note, if you do ever want to get back in, one of the changes is your nuclear reactor can now burn wood, I believe.
Cool. Yeah. Ben, you ever get down on any early release stuff?
I didn't think I did, but I guess PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is early access, so I've played that a little bit. I kind of echo a lot of the things that some of the earlier comments where usually I like for it to be a complete game before I play it, just because it, I don't know. I mean, I guess the trade-off is you're not supporting somebody early on, which there's some merit to. But yeah, I usually like to play it when it's completely done, so I'm not like wasting my time. So,
Yeah. Makes sense. Lines up with what a lot of people said. Yeah. And David, how about you?
Yeah, for me, I would definitely be willing to. The problem I have is, you know, a lot of like the favorite genres for indie games aren't genres I like. You know, things like roguelikes, things like that. And so, you know, since most early access are indie games, that really, you know, just limits how often that's going to come up. Mm-hmm. It seems like most of the other indie games that I am really interested in, it's because of the story. And, you know, early access, you know, tends to not be a good idea if you're interested in the story.
Right, right.
So, yeah, I think I technically... If Warframe was early access, I technically started playing that early access. So yeah, the first time I played it, and then I played a lot of Killing Floor 1 really early on, and really enjoyed that. So there have been good ones, but not often.
Yeah. I don't know. And with stuff getting harder to greenlight, I know greenlight and early access are different things. Like, we're going to see, I think, maybe a little bit less of that.
See, when did that happen? Because there's so much crap getting greenlit.
Yeah, there was. And then I think Valve decided to fade it away. I'm a little bit sore about greenlight because something that we just covered for Abject Suffering on an episode that'll be coming out here in a few weeks is kind of a notorious example of greenlight falling down, and sure. So I'm not entirely displeased. Yeah. Oh man,
see, I feel like what they really need is they need some sort of like, my problem isn't with finding games on Steam isn't just the total ripoff games, it's just wading through the waist deep you know, Me Too games.
Yeah. Nope, it's a problem. Discoverability is a problem. Yeah. So thank you everybody for writing in with those. If you would like to participate, go to facebook.com/thelittlepodcast and watch for those prompts to go up on Tuesday afternoons, thanks to Dennis or Jala. And especially to the people who recommend or inspire the questions that we put out to you.
The Grind.
Now it is time for The Grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past week or so. David, I know you've been playing something new, so I want to start with you.
Sure. So, yeah, strangely enough, I've actually have been playing something new. But first, I'm going to briefly talk about Warframe.
Because why not?
Because why not?
You tricked me.
I finally unlocked the one of the better melee weapons. That's basically a anime style like sword that is twice as tall as my character.
Okay.
And previously, there's a mod that's basically a end game mod for increasing range on melee attacks, which basically means I can now melee attack people on the other side of a room.
A melee attack?
Yeah, yes. I think that's called a gun.
Yeah,
you know,
David, I think you just unlocked a gun.
The gun haver. No. Yeah, so it's basically, you know, it's one of those things where if you get far enough into the game and get powerful enough, the game just stops making sense. So I can now just walk into a room and just, like, blender everything, which is kind of fun. But yeah. Onto actually things that anyone else wants to hear about. I got Hollow Knight. So, I've really been enjoying it. I wasn't quite sure What I was getting into, because it looked like maybe it was a Souls-like, but also with some kind of Metroidvania type DNA. And has a really weird aesthetic. I forget, have we spoken about it at all
We haven't
on
spoken
show?
about it. You've mentioned being interested in it, and I've said definitely go for it because we're covering it for Bonfireside Chat, and I'm kind of excited to talk about it because I'm playing it for Bonfireside Chat, and I'm really enjoying it.
So it's got this basically, like, its thing is all of the characters are insects, and but it's got this really weird, I don't know, I'm bad at describing artistic styles, but it's,
You don't see something that looks like this. I'll step in just to save you, if that is welcome.
yeah,
It
go for it.
is all hand drawn and hand animated, which is a ridiculous amount of work. Also, it's ridiculous to do it at the quality that you see in this. Like, if you're going to look at this, watch videos because it moves just in this silky smooth fashion. Everything looks great. It has a ton of character. And you would think that something that's stylized or this kind of fluid would get in the way of play a little bit. No, actually it does not. Just every single frame of this game just pops.
Yeah. And like, as example, and this isn't going to be something I can tell you how good it looks, obviously in words, but it maybe gives an idea of, like, the attention to detail is, Metroidvania games, like parallax scrolling for the background, give an idea of depth is, something they've been doing forever. But this one will actually like do basically parallax scrolling with props. So for example, if you're passing through an archway, say when you're like walking up to it, it'll be dead on to you, and then as you pass through, it'll sort of do a scroll at different rates, so that'll kind of become more three-dimensional. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it'll like they will rotate the asset. Which
Yeah,
again,
exactly.
this is not a 3D game, so that is, like they are animating architecture within the world depending on, the where the camera is at in relation to it.
Right. And there's a lot of similar things with lighting, just a lot of stuff that went into it. And then also just the drawing, it's the actual character design itself is really well done. It's it's a thing where it's super stylized but also very recognizable. So your character is oh, what is it? It's the Japanese beetle that's like with the
He's like a little stag beetle kind of guy, yeah.
but it's like his he's a knight, or he or she, I'm not sure which. But
It
like, so,
is aggressively non-gendered.
right, yeah, exactly. Sorry, I actually mentioned that just because I assumed it was a she, just because the first time they mention a knight generically, it's a female, so that just stuck in my. Okay, anyways, yeah, and so like, your wings are basically drawn not so much as wings as they are as like kind of your cloak, things like that. So yeah, it's just really cool setting and also really cool gameplay. Just yeah, it's got it has I would say legitimately a little bit of Dark Souls DNA in that it's actually has some over exploration aspects to it, and kind of does some of the minimal storytelling, things like that. So
it's Souls AF. There are also mechanical hooks, like you have a somewhat limited heal that you can get, like it's an SS mm-hmm. replacement, but that is charged up by actually landing attacks on enemies. And that is also used for special abilities. Like you get a spell, like a projectile that you can use. So it's like, do I want to use, you know, what is potentially one heal's worth of energy to do a lot of damage to this boss when I have this opportunity?
Exactly. Yeah.
And also it has the Dark Souls style death loop, where if you yep. die, you have to get back to where you bit it, and then kill your spirit so you can get all of your money back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see like if that ever becomes like a storyline thing of like why you turn into a disembodied wraith.
Because
there's at least some implication with some of that, but
yeah,
I don't know. I think my favorite characters so far though is there's a husband and wife that run the map shop.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And basically, like, the husband is kind of the stock character of kind of the absent-minded, like, eccentric, that he's basically always running off, you know, mapping the new areas, basically, whenever you, unlock a new area.
Yep.
And the wife is back actually running the shop and being responsible.
Yep. And she doesn't want to be there. It's actually kind of sad. She's just very disinterested and worried for her husband's safety while also being frustrated that he is not there and out there, you know, exposing himself to danger like that.
Yeah. And then the other thing that's really endearing is there's no voiceover, but all of the characters have a kind of a pseudo like simish kind of like
da-ba-do-da-ba-da-ba-da.
Yeah, exactly. It's they're really, really well done.
Mm-hmm.
They do a great job of kind of communicating the character's personality and the emotion they're doing. One of the standout ones is there's a guy you find early on that's basically a miner that's, you know, constantly singing these whatever the minor equivalent of like sea shanties are.
Yeah.
Wait, and child so, or digs in the ground or both?
Digs in the ground.
Yes.
And so basically like his the lick they use for his voice is just like kind of this stylized humming.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the whole thing's just really well done. I beat the first boss and then I'm some ways through the next level.
Okay. Yeah, so you're in the green path or whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Be prepared. This is a long game.
Really?
Yeah, like I am about halfway through now, I think, and I've got 14 hours into it. Nice. Yeah. So like it is special. I'm kind of wondering if it will end up wearing out its welcome, but like it has that Dark Souls style thing where like you keep going and you find new worlds and then you find ways that, you know, these new places, you know, kind of unforeseen biomes double back and reach into places where you've already been, you know, like
they have
kind of found a little bit of that magic from the way that, familiarity works in these kind of expansive worlds. In a really cool way. I've gotten, like, I've seen places where it's like, all right, this is a new area. I can already tell that I'm not going to be entirely successful here. I have like three more places I can go to see if there's going to be like more, kind of more acceptable climbs for me.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. That definitely makes sense. So,
yeah, no, it's really exciting. I'm happy you like it.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where they go with the lobby. Do you know anything about the developer or team or wherever behind it?
No, they're called Team Cherry.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see here. If they've done anything else, I'm actually really, really curious about it.
Yeah, because I don't know if this will mean anything to anyone else, but it's the type of game that comes across like a passion project type game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it And I mean, part of this is, you know, the setting and stuff like that. But like, it in some ways reminds me of like a cave story or like a Salt and Sanctuary or something like that, where, you know, just a game that, you know, someone really wanted to make and put a lot of effort into.
Yeah. If this, if their website is to be believed, they're four people, which is ridiculous for the amount of kind of production and care that is that has gone into this.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah, this is closer to a cave story than it is to a Salt and Sanctuary. Just because Salt and Sanctuary kind of models the gear aspect of Dark Souls in a way that this does not.
I meant more in terms of that the fact that it was made by like two people and that kind of that feel. But totally.
No, looking at their site, teamcherry.com.au, like this is the only thing that they've been working on. And this was a kickstarted game, so I don't know what where these developers came from, or if they're, you know, if this is just like their first effort. Regardless, it is ridiculous.
Definitely. Yeah.
Also, I want figurines of these characters.
Yeah, there's a lot. I would love to get I need to see if I can figure out a way to get like a high quality print of the fast travel.
The stag. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really good. Yeah. Also, again, something that's just really, really likable. I love the fact that when you open up your map, your character pulls out a map and starts reading it.
And he has a different animation depending on if he's on a bench, which is your bonfire equivalent.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, if you don't do anything on the bench, you'll like fall asleep, things like that.
Well, yeah, that's how you respond too. Like if you die, you reappear on the bench and then he just like wakes up, like he just had a bad dream or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah. Right there. What do you think of the decision to, have the map only fill in when you sit down at benches? Like the idea is after you buy the map from the, you know, from the vendor, you know, you can go around. If you go off of the edges, it will fill in, but only when he's had time to actually work on it. So like you will be running around in what appears to be the void, and then if you either die or get on a bench, that is when it'll fill in. Like does that work for you? Has that gotten in the way for you?
Sure. I would say at this point, from a gameplay perspective, I don't have a strong feeling on it one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the kind of charm that comes from, you know, that aspect of, you know, implying or whatever that the character is actually drawing it. And then also the fact that like you have to actually buy the materials to draw it. Mm-hmm. I guess I should say it's a one-time purchase. It's not like a, but like kind of your first sort of like, you know, minor equivalent to like a Souls grind is basically buying like a quill pen and markers to make the map. Yeah. And so I would say at least so far, the charm of those kind of story-esque aspects outweigh or are a net benefit for me. I don't know eventually if it'll get annoying or not. So how do you feel?
No, like eventually you get used to it. Like I really also enjoy the idea of getting those pins to highlight different things, because they're like, there will be different stuff you want to keep track of, and the fact that they like you are just, you know, paying a one-time, you know, relatively small fee in order for those to show up is kind of a good thing. I like it. I'm just happy that they have a map after coming out of Salt and Sanctuary, where they did not.
One of the other kind of nice things is the map is, well, I mean, I guess technically it truly is hand drawn, but you know, it's designed to be hand drawn, so it's sort of a lot of these sections are kind of are symbolically drawn, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so like this big area that is a maze will not have every single platform represented on the thing. It'll just be like, hey, here is a big room with all of the entrances and exits marked.
Right. Well, and then also like usually then there'll be like, you know, if you drew like on paper like a maze.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be that's kind of how your character represented, hey, this room's a maze. Similarly, like there's a couple of rooms that are like basically like small settlements, and so it's just kind of a picture of a couple houses.
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice that like in particular, even early on before you get everything unlocked, you can still kind of look at it and sort of work back and figure out what's going on in the map.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It is a fantastic game. Like this is, I don't know. I'd kind of gotten skeptical that something that cribbed from Souls DNA would end up being very good over the past kind of, you know, several, you know, attempts that we have covered. But this is very much, you know, it takes just enough of that, you know, and the stuff that I like, the atmosphere, the oblique storytelling and the exploration, and brings it into just an incredibly tight, you know, 2D platformer and, you know, Metroidvania boss fighting thing.
Sure.
And, yeah, it's great. Also the music is wonderful and haunting.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a little bit, regretting I didn't buy the version that comes with the soundtrack. Mm. And so I'm probably going to eventually end up buying the soundtrack.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking at the page for it on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
And so I'm probably going to end up, going for that because it is cool, good, you know, ambient and sad piano stuff.
I'm curious. Have you looked at Dead Cells though?
Yeah, I've looked at it. It looks neat. But I have not had a chance to like, you know, really, really dig into like looking at getting it. You know, again, it's the it is the whole I am probably going to be behind on assignment play until the end of August kind of thing.
Yeah, it's just interesting because from what I've seen of it, it seems like a lot of it actually shares a lot of the things we just got done talking about liking. for example, like one of the things, your character in it doesn't have a head. So all of your dialogue with NPCs is like you doing like thumbs up sign and like shrugging your shoulders, things like that.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoy a roguelike. I'm just... worried about what the randomly generated world will do to that sense of exploration. I am very much enjoying in Hollow Knight walking through something that was just painstakingly handcrafted.
Yeah, true.
Not that those systems and, you know, whatever generates those levels is not painstakingly handcrafted, but you understand the difference.
Yeah. Although I think in this one, they actually do, it's not so much procedural as much as it is puzzle piece.
Yeah, it's like a like Rogue Legacy in that way is the
comparison. Really? I didn't know. Yeah. Rogue Legacy did it that way.
Yeah, Rogue Legacy has like building blocks that are assembled randomly each time.
I need to get back and beat that.
Yeah.
Rogue Legacy gets like at the end of it, you beat the boss and then you have to beat him again and then have to beat him again, and I kind of burnt out. I was like, I know I'm close enough to the end to just be happy with it.
Yeah, it's the
fair, you've had like 600 generations to beat this guy, so it's only fair.
Yeah, it's a little bit the FTL problem, right?
Yeah.
Wait, what's the FTL problem?
We're just like the entire game is, and all of your multiple runs are just getting to the right conditions where you can beat the final boss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Hollow Knight, it's very good. I hope I didn't hijack your thing, David.
That was a
satisfactory tag team.
Yes.
Did you have anything else?
No, that was it. I didn't get a chance to do any more with Saints Row, so.
Mm. Yeah. Ben, what you been playing?
I just got a bunch of old stuff. I mean, kept playing Assassin's Creed 4. Still pretty good. Still enjoying it. I've gotten to explore kind of more of the map now, kind of complete different areas. Ships somewhat formidable. They have things in the corners of the map where there's these like legendary ships you can fight.
Hmm.
And it might be like maybe the equivalent of like boss battles in Dark Souls, but for ships, it might only seem that way because you're like way underleveled for them.
Hmm.
I'm sure they're easy once you get to a certain point, I guess. But I mean, they're definitely cool though. Like the ships that you're fighting look really cool. But yeah, so not too much more to talk about that, though. Gameplay is kind of as usual. Other than that, I've just been playing Rocket League too. So I've had a boring vanilla week.
What is
Go ahead.
Does Assassin's Creed 4, do they have like sea monsters?
Not that I've seen yet.
That's disappointing. I feel like that's what I would want to do, sure. Is like go whaling, except with like a sea serpent.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, yeah, that is like the one missing piece that there's not any like ghost or mystical type of things happening. Like they've hit all the other pirate beats up until this point, but
it feels almost required.
Which is funny because like the rest of the game makes, you know, I mean, you know that meme aliens, right?
What?
You know the aliens guy?
Oh, the ancient aliens dude with the crazy bird hair?
Yeah. I'm sorry, that me pantomiming that does not come over audio, I guess.
No, it doesn't.
But no, I feel like the entire story of Assassin's Creed basically be something like that.
Oh no, the aliens are getting in the way of Skype. Yeah, the ancient aliens, they mess with Skype and now we're fixed. Due to editing magic. But yeah, I could see them doing something with some kind of sea serpent, but almost like a like how they put Sasquatch into either Red Dead or Grand Theft Auto 5.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know, is the main story getting any better or are you just enjoying pirate times on the high seas?
Yeah, like they're slowly developing the present day storyline, so you're getting more like crumbs of that happening. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the story that you're going back to in the Animus, I mean, it's pretty whatever for me, at least. Yeah. Like, they do this thing where they'll introduce, like, six characters really early on, and then you, like, one by one will go back and meet with all the individual characters.
Okay.
But I was not taking notes when I was playing this game, so I did not remember who each of these people were. So I feel like there's a little bit of a problem where they're kind of underdeveloped, and so maybe they were thinking, like, the story missions that you have with the individual characters, there'd be more of a payoff there, but it definitely doesn't feel that way when I'm playing it. So yeah. That's kind of one downside, but again, it's not a huge deal because mostly the fun of the game is doing all the pirate sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself kind of going on to Syndicate or Unity?
No.
No?
No. I think I played part of the Syndicate like at a friend's place once. It looks fine, but it kind of looks like business as usual Assassin's Creed. So
yeah,
because am I right in thinking that the next two Assassin's Creeds, they don't have anything on a boat, right?
No, there's as far as I know, I think that they are very much landlocked, and that one is in Paris and the other is in London.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. It's like the Assassin's Creed 4. Like, it could be a standalone game, and it would be a really good game. Like, all the mechanics are there, and they make a lot of really good design choices. Like, all you would need is, like, to have a really good writing crew to maybe write a better story, and maybe if they weren't, like, locked into the Assassin's Creed mythos, like, you could make a really excellent game out of that engine and what's going on there. But,
yeah.
It's still not a bad game, but, yeah.
I feel like Assassin's Creed is, I think, the game series that I most see at some point when we're like, I don't know, 50 is going to get like a reboot. Yeah, you know what I mean? How now they're doing like all the like 80s reboots of like, remember this thing you really sort of have fond memories for, but then we ran into the ground? Well, now we're going to make a good one.
Yeah.
Didn't they already do that with like the second and third game though?
See, I feel like that was the when it was good.
Yeah,
definitely with two. I don't know, you say when we're 50, but that's optimistic. I think when we're 35.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, nothing new to report. Lots more Heroes of the Storm. They were doing an event where you could get a ton of loot boxes both for Heroes of the Storm and for Overwatch if you played with a friend. So big ups to Angelo, who I played most of my games with. We had a great time and got some loot boxes in the process. And then I played a little bit more Uncharted 4 and got to a big twist. I thought it was going to be a big supernatural twist, but it was just a big twist. Mm-hmm. And I'm very pleased to say, you know, last time I talked about like not being sure how far into the game I am. And like, I'm even less certain that I'm in the right place now than I was before. and I'm even more uncertain about certain characters than I was before. Hmm. So, yeah, I really like what they've done with the story. We'll check in again later. But yeah, it's all stuff that I've talked about before, unfortunately.
Is it? I mean, is it stuff with Sam?
It is, yeah. So he has continued. Like I talked about last week, where you're genuinely not sure if he, like, what his intentions towards Nate are. And I feel like it got a little bit clearer in some ways, a little more obfuscated in others. And they tell a very good story. Yeah. Naughty Dog does. So
yeah. Any new gameplay hooks?
No. Oh no. Yes, they have.
You already have the grappling variety.
Yeah, I got the grappling. I complained about the sliding puzzles and complimented the car sections. And so, of course, the only natural next step is to have a sliding puzzle in a car section.
What?
Oh, see, I was hoping for like Tokyo Drift.
Well, it's kind of what that is.
Yeah, yeah. No, not the way. Like it's you know, you're trying to like drive up a waterfall or a series of rapids, essentially. And so there's a bunch of like, okay, I got to start driving from here so that I can slide down to the right place. But
oh, so you are literally meaning okay, sliding a car. I thought you meant like you had to like Dukes of Hazzard like slide to get to your car or something.
Oh, that would be awesome. No, it's just what it sounds like. Take me literally.
Quick time event of sliding over the hood.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just as meh in a car as it is in on foot. Like it's
how do you jump at the end?
That is a good question.
Does it have hydraulics? I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just have a lot of very.
You don't even have the jump at the end. You just kind of have a wet like. Oh, I made it where I needed to go. Cool. But I'm like I said, continue to be very intrigued by the story.
Yeah.
You're not sure if you're in the right place, I enjoy imagining that like the big twist is they're gonna be like, oh shit, we're in the wrong country.
Literally, like yeah.
That happens.
Is it like maybe to be more so I found the ruins, but I'm not sure if I found the treasure. And like the entire game has set up that like it would not be implausible for us to be like, nope, they definitely moved the treasure.
I feel like that's the type of thing I'm imagining as like the marketing tagline for the game. I found the ruins, but I don't know if I found the treasure.
they moved the headstones, but they did not move the bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. And so is that all for you?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And that just leaves me. I've been playing more Theatrhythm Final Fantasy. That is the rhythm game based on Final Fantasy music. The 3DS version of it came in, which has a shit ton more music, which is good. This is Theatrhythm Curtain Call, or what have you. It is still basically the same game. There's some story bullshit about assembling the heroes of the crystals to fight the forces of chaos or whatever. Nope, it is a way for me to listen to Final Fantasy music while doing things with my hands.
Yeah. Have you considered a fidget spinner?
I don't have a spinner. I have one of those cubes. But I also have pinballs, which I play with while we record. It is a good and fun game. I have been kind of increasing the difficulty, so they've got the like easy, medium, hard. They've got fantasy names for those, but you know, it's easy, medium, and hard. And I was like, oh, let me jump into, you know, to the hard difficulty. No, they're having you do an awful lot. Like it is an awful lot of like swiping in different directions, so I need to work my way up to that. But when I say they have a lot of music, what I mean is they have stuff not just from all 13 of the mainline Final Fantasies, but also like any spinoff you can think of, pretty much. Not if you're like somebody who's going to say, what about Chocobo's Dungeon 2 for the PS? No, probably not that. But I'm thinking like Mystic Quest. They've got like Final Fantasy Tactics music in there. They've got all of these sequels like 10-2 and then Lightning Returns and stuff. So I'm like playing the battle music from Final Fantasy Tactics, and that is cool. I like
that.
Do you
feel like all of the songs got equal love, or is it like they kind of overextended themselves? And
I haven't played anything that felt like it was a bummer.
Oh, good.
Yeah. The only thing that was a little bit of a bummer, and like I understand why they did this, I was like, hey, they have Dancing Mad in here from Final Fantasy VI, the song for the end boss, which in its actual composition is an 18-minute long kind of prog rock orchestral medley. That would be unrealistic to do. I wonder if that is something you can unlock. It would also be unfun to play because 18 minutes is an atrocious amount of time to spend doing what this game asks you to do with the tapping and swiping and stuff. But no, like they've just got that down to like a 4-minute kind of mega cut of it, which is fine and reasonable. I don't feel like they extended themselves too far.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't know. It's good. The visual style is still excrement, but whatever.
I have to say, I didn't realize until I saw like the show notes, the degree to which the, at least when it's written, the word theatrism or whatever fills me with rage.
Yeah, it's it is definitely like square post 2005, let's say. Yeah, it is a bullshit title. They really should have just called it actual words, but I don't know. Nobody's ever going to call anything else theatrhythm, so they've got that SEO on lock, I suppose.
Well, if anyone can spell it.
Yeah, I suppose. But then you can just search Final Fantasy Rhythm Game, which is what they should have called it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I have anything else to add on top of that. Otherwise, just playing stuff for shows and things.
Yep. Efficient week here, light week.
Very efficient week. So yeah, sorry if this episode is shorter, but are you all okay with us buttoning it up?
All right.
Okay.
Buttons.
Yeah, Jala, she popped into the level backstage Slack and gave us a picture of some buttons for the end of the show. So that's good. Very much appreciated. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of The Level. We do hope that you come back again real soon. It's level 198. We're coming up on the big 200. So if you have any ideas for what we should do to commemorate that, we would love to hear them because I personally do not. But we'll find something, even if it's very small.
We should drink 200 beers between the four of us.
Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus, over the course of the 2 hours?
Yeah, just baby beers.
Okay,
so that would be 100 beers an hour divided by four, so 25 beers an hour.
Yeah, so a baker's case. It's a baker's case of beer.
A baby's baker's case.
Yeah. As a heads up, we've got some changes coming to the Patreon. We've kind of signaled these. I think they're all kind of universally exciting. We're going to announce those in early June, and they will take effect sometime in mid-June. So just so you're aware of that. But there's all the usual stuff you can do. We love it when people give us reviews. We love it when people talk about us on social media. You bet your ass that I am searching for that, and I always appreciate it when it happens. And in general, if you want to stick around and participate in those multiplayers, we enjoy it when that happens as well. We enjoy it when lots of stuff happens. Is there anything that I'm forgetting?
I don't think so.
All right. So I have been Cole Ross at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I've been Dennis Furia at DFuria on Twitter.
I've been David Moneysmith at Moneysmith777 on Twitter.
I've been Ben Merkel at Merkelizer on Twitter.
And stick around for some titles.
So I have three.
Okay, go for it.
I have El Cabeza Kabong, Far Out, and write that down. It's a good title.
Okay. Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, I have Leak Week.
Okay.
A lot of Bell Play. And then the Cabeza Kabong.
Okay.
And then I also had My of the Slack.
I like My of the Slack. I also, I have to say, I like The Cabeza Kabong better than El Cabeza Kabong.
Okay. All right. Ben, how about you?
I got Leak Week. I got Bell Play. I got Far Out or Fall Cry. I got Write That Down. It's a good title.
Did anybody write down what I actually said to write down?
No.
Nope.
And I got Pigged.
All right. Okie doke. I have a Cup of Steez. Not a Cup of Steez, just Cup of Steez. And then Self-Guided and Misguided.
Wait, are those two different ones, or is it Self-Guided and Misguided?
It is Self-Guided and Misguided. So it's okay. It is a single one.
So I like My of the Slack. I like Write That Down. It's a good title. And I also like Pegged.
Pegged spans. Pegged definitely spans.
No Cabeza Kabong?
Yeah. I think I like The Cabeza Kabong. For as much as I like My, I don't want to get in the habit very much of putting listener names in, because it would feel so sorry, My, but I also don't want to I don't want it to become a thing.
It makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, like we have a lot of ties. Does anybody want to make an impassioned case?
I think Cabeza Kabong has a nice little jaunt to it.
Okay.
It's fun to say.
Yeah, it relates to a new story, which is good. Yeah.
I'm pretty fine with all of them, so I don't care.
Yeah, let's go with
Cabeza. I'm pretty fine with all of them. I still like Peck because it makes me laugh.
Because I'm a horrible person. Cabeza Kabong or The Cabeza Kabong?
I think The Cabeza Kabong.
Yeah, because it's like, give him the old Cabeza Kabong.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. The Cabeza Kabong. There we go. Cool. Well, that will work. Great. Well, I'm gonna take this.
I love how I just like couldn't decide what accent to give that, so I just kind of gave it all of them.
Just a sampler platter. Well, I'm going to take this opportunity since we're done early. Instead of going to bed, I'm going to go play some Hollow Knight.
Wait,
come on, man.
All right. Peace. Later, everybody. Bye.
See ya.
Take care.